And so I constantly was trying to reach out to conservatives, Republicans, anyone, and say, you know, where are you? Why are you not engaging in education? We have neglected it for decades. And what we see going on in the country right now is because we have neglected it for decades. And you opened up, you know, this show speaking to me saying that I can't remember the exact words, but
I gave up.
You gave up, yes. And I think that a lot of conservatives have given up. But where is that leaving us? We're saving our own kids. We're pulling them out. We're protecting them. We're making sure they're learning the founding principles of the country and they're understanding things. But the general population is not. We're throwing them to the wolves, basically. And you see what's happening to our country. We have no choice but to re-engage.
You know, as a parent, I have for years been a big advocate of homeschooling, school choice, private schools, anything to keep our kids out of public schools. But here's the thing, that as a conservative, if we want to go back to how things were originally, conservatives were the prime fighters when it came to helping to improve our public schools. It's as if some of us, and I put myself into that category, have given up and just said, you know what? The left has taken over the schools, and now we're just going to have to deal with it. And we deal with it by homeschooling, private schooling, stuff like that. But here's the thing. There are still many, many people who believe in the public school system and who want to improve it. And I think that it's an extremely worthy cause. In fact, I would say it's probably the most underserved conservative cause out there today. Our next guest is a co-founder of a group that I've just recently learned about, and I'm very disappointed in myself for not knowing about it before. She's a former school board member who founded Moms for Liberty, a grassroots organization dedicated to fighting for the survival of America by promoting the principles of liberty, empowering parents to defend their parental rights, and encouraging engagement in our education system. We are very blessed, pleased, and honored to have Tina Deskovich join us today. Tina, I have to ask, did I just butcher your name or did I say it right?
Perfectly. You nailed it.
Okay. You know, that's two for two. I normally check. It's kind of, you know, on my checklist of things to do. Please state your name for the record so I know I don't sound like an idiot. Yesterday I had an even harder name and I nailed it as well. So score. tell us a little bit about this Moms for Liberty, tell us how it started. Just give us the overview of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, we'll give you a pass for not knowing who we are because we just launched January 1st of this year, 2021. So we're only a little over 3 months in the making. We initially planned on starting and just growing throughout the state of Florida. We both Tiffany and I that founded Moms for Liberty are former school board members in the state of Florida. So we know Florida law really well. We understand the Florida education system really well. And we really felt like we could help moms and parents throughout the state to get more engaged and more involved. Within just a couple of weeks of launching, people were popping up all over the country asking to launch chapters. And so we quickly switched that to becoming a national organization. We now have close to 17, little over 17 chapters in 11 different states. And I have a spreadsheet of about 50 more chapter applications that we're interviewing and working through to get launched. So it's growing fast, which is probably why we're all of a sudden on your radar. And we're glad to be here.
Now, I saw you, a good friend of mine, you guys were on with Jamie Glassoff the other day. And when I saw that, I started doing my research and here we are. So you said that you have a co-founder. That would be Tiffany Justice. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And you guys, did you know each other before?
Yes, not very well. So throughout education, even in the state of Florida, which is relatively conservative, it just goes, you know, hand in hand with education and school boards. Most people are liberal. So when you have leaders that are conservative leaning in the state of Florida, you kind of get to know each other through a network of, you know, searching out for people that are standing on the same issues you are. And it's a very lonely place to be on a school board and in a school district when you have that perspective. And so you find each other. We've had a few conversations in the past, but we both served from 2016 to 2020. And as our terms were coming to an end, we were getting a lot of press because we were going down in flames on or one votes left and right on all of the extreme COVID practices and things that were happening. And so we became a little better friends through that. And then we thought about what can we do with this experience that we have to help these parents that are now showing up and just realizing that their rights have been stripped from them in education, right? They've been sending their kids off for years, every day to school, thinking they're getting a great education. The kids come home with A's, life is good. No one cares. Now there's concerns and issues, and we watch parents show up and school boards just shut them down and not listen. And so they're like, what happened? When did we lose our rights? And so, she and I saw, we like to call it behind the edu curtain. That's kind of a name that we've coined, the education curtain. There's stuff going on back there that people don't know anything about, the powers that the unions have. I mean, now people are starting to see, right, with the schools that are still aren't open, the bureaucrats, weak school boards that just let everyone make decisions but themselves. And so we thought maybe through this organization, we can pull back that curtain and help parents engage.
It sounds like you identified one of the problems just with your experience itself, the fact that it was 4-1 votes constantly, the fact that in, states, even right-leaning states, even in right-leaning districts, you often have school boards that are comprised of left-leaning school board members. Is it a lack of talent, lack of interest? What is it preventing us conservatives from going out there and saying, hey, let's take an active role in driving policy within our school district?
It was very frustrating serving on the school board. You, time and time again, we're very large school districts here in Florida. They're by county. So, for example, Brevard County, where I served, is like 47th largest in the nation. So your school board meetings are, they're covered by the news media and quite a few people attend. There were a lot of hot button issues that went on here, especially after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting. We had some Second Amendment issues here at school board meetings. And often there would be hundreds of people there protesting, always, always, always in red shirts, red for Ed, teachers union, moms demand action, always. And then you look as the sole conservative on the school board and you couldn't find one lonely person out there to support where you stood. And if you had other conservative school board members, they cave left and right, 200-400 people screaming at you, booing at you, calling you all kinds of names. Not a lot of people can stand up to that. And so I constantly was trying to reach out to conservatives, Republicans, anyone, and say, where are you? Why are you not engaging in education? We have neglected it for decades. And what we see going on in the country right now is because we have neglected it for decades. And you opened up, this show speaking to me saying that I can't remember the exact words, but
I gave up.
You gave up, yes. And I think that a lot of conservatives have given up. But where's that leaving us? We're saving our own kids. We're pulling them out. We're protecting them. We're making sure they're learning the founding principles of the country and they're understanding things. But the general population is not. We're throwing them to the wolves, basically. And you see what's happening to our country. We have no choice but to re-engage. You think there aren't days that we get up and go, oh my gosh, there's so many issues. This is so massive that we don't want to give up too, but we cannot. We cannot give up because it is the sole hope of saving our country.
And not just today, but also for tomorrow. We always talk about how education is the bridge, the gap that has to be crossed in order to get to tomorrow. And if we don't engage in it, then we're going to lose badly. And that's why we're losing today. I can make a very clear case that the exit from the education arena that started 6 decades ago, it has been the foundation upon which the left has been able to first remain alive and now to thrive as they are. Yeah, and I did, my first child, he's now 26, but he went through school and we've learned very quickly that we should have gone to private school. So we did with our second daughter. And then with our third, we've gone to homeschool. And with our fourth, we're going to continue in homeschool. So we've done the transition. We've experienced it across the board. When I say that I've given up, I want to fight this. And I think that I would be in the minority when I say that I gave up because of, for whatever, you know, my personal reasons, I think the majority give up because they don't think they can win. And you've expressed that frustration yourself. So here's the question. This is the million-dollar question. We're going to do it right here in the middle of the interview instead of saving it for the end. What do we need to do to fix this? How do we fix the public education system in the United States of America?
You know, when you say it out loud, it's really not that hard. We're set up in a form of government where the people have the power. You know that. I know that. Many people in our country don't know that, and they certainly don't feel it right now. But the form of government is still set up in that fashion. And we have to engage. We cannot stick our heads in the sand. We cannot ignore it and wish it to go away. We have to engage. It is the only way. We have to take back our power. It's ours to have. We've just given it away. It doesn't even make any sense when you look at it in the simplest terms. There's no reason for the unions to have the power. There's no reason for the bureaucrats to have the power. We have the power of, and these are local elections. This isn't trying to win a national election. This is not hard to do, but we need moms. And, you know, we're Moms for Liberty, but we include dads and grandparents and just community members that care. We just need them to engage locally in their tiny little community and get out and understand what's going on in school board meetings, stand up at school board meetings. You know, we have a plan. We have a system that's working already within our chapters. Last night was kind of an exciting night for us because school board meetings, you know, some places are about once a month, sometimes or twice a month. But last night, most of our chapters kind of all aligned with having school board meetings. And so it was the first night that my phone was blowing up of just moms, not just in Florida, but in other states around the country, texting me photos of them and their Moms for Liberty shirts with their signs out at school board meetings, and then videos of them speaking publicly. Some had to do it via Zoom because their school districts aren't allowing them to come in yet and speak. But I took screen snaps of them. Some were there live. It just, you know, I started making a collage on my phone of all the activity that's starting to happen of these moms that are getting engaged and showing up. And dads, we had a couple dads, and we had some students speak on our behalf too. And we even had a teacher that was brave last night, a third grade teacher stood up and spoke out on a couple issues that she has concerns with. So I think we're gaining more credibility. We're bringing more people in, and it's a real movement that can make change.
Well, hopefully that third grade teacher didn't lose his or her job this morning. You never know. It happens. Sorry, I don't want to watch it. That turns out to be the case, and I feel really bad. We're on with Tina Deskovich from Moms with Liberty. You can find her stuff at momsforliberty.com, or is it .org? Which one?
.org.
.org. Okay. Well, that tells me why my email bounced before, because with Tiffany, she had put the other one. So.
The email goes to .org. The website, you could probably type in anything. I think we bought up all the URLs we could.
Oh, good job. Good job. See, that's proper education at work right there. They did the smart thing. So to me, it sounds as if the strength here is not in a centralized organization that obviously you need coordination at the central level, but the strength is going to be within the chapters themselves and trying to get the chapters built up, trying to get them, you know, supporting them individually, getting more of them out there, finding great leaders who can step up and make their chapters shine. What is the best way for, you know, what's the process? Is there a vetting process? Do they fill out an application? They send you $50. What do they do to become a chapter of Moms for Liberty?
First, I just want to agree with you that we very much are a grassroots organization. We do not even really have issues at the top level. You know, we support parental rights, basically. We support liberty. Every chapter is so different. We have chapters that are just fighting to get schools open, some that are trying to get schools full time, others that are mad about masks, plenty of them fighting critical race theory. You know, these issues are very local. And so it is not our job to push our issues down to them. This is just our whole purpose of the organization is to help give people a voice and bring them together. It's really surprising how scared moms in particular are to stand up. I have had, especially at the first few school board meetings that happened, moms would go in, they looked brave and bold, and they would call me sometimes in tears afterwards because union members were heckling them. They were called hate mongers. Like these are just moms with three little kids at home. They just, you know, they're just changing diapers and doing ordinary things. They don't want to be out there in the newspaper being called a hateful person. And so the power really is local and on them supporting one another as they step up and use their voice. The process of starting a chapter is very simple. You go to our website, momsforliberty.org, and there's a tab that says start a chapter. You fill out a basic form. Then we email you back and schedule a time for a phone interview. And we talk about issues. We make sure that you align with our values. You understand what's going on in the world, that you have some leadership skills. You don't have to have very many. It's not a hard process. It doesn't cost a dollar. You know, at some point we are really going to have to start raising funds. And if there's anybody out there that would like to invest in this, we could use a little bit of investors. But right now we've had just plenty of grassroots people get on our website and donate $50, $100. And it's enough for me to put together starter packs for these chapters where we give them some t-shirts and some postcards. We kind of do the layered approach as chapters. They meet monthly at a minimum, and they write postcards to their school board members. They get phone call campaigns going, and obviously they're showing up and speaking at meetings too. So I send them postcards, some recruitment cards, you know, just kind of a starter pack. And right now that's just free. And so, you have to commit to being active and holding meetings and holding up our values, but it's not hard to start a chapter at all.
That sounds wonderful. And, you know, it sounds very much like what was happening approximately a decade ago with the formation of the Tea Party. And one of the challenges that they had was they had many challenges, but there was a lot of excitement built around them. One of the things that they had a challenge with was centralizing the philosophy too much. And with education, when I make my pitch for localization of education, I'm an advocate to completely abolish the federal Department of Education myself. And I want it to be more localized and statewide. But the reason for this is, I think, something that I think everybody can understand. You know, the needs of somebody in Lawton, Oklahoma, a parent in Lawton, Oklahoma, student or teacher or anybody in Lawton, Oklahoma, is going to be very different from the needs of us out here in Orange, California. We have different students and different priorities and different challenges that we have to face. So that's why the localization helps. So point I'm trying to make is, and very clumsily, is that I adore your model so far. This sounds like this is exactly what I would have put together myself if I was a mom. But I'm not.
Thank you. I think it works for a lot of reasons. It's localized. Everybody has a school board. Everybody's concerned about education right now. We've given them very easy steps to get engaged. So, it's theirs for the taking right now. We've set it up. We've got everything, all the tools that you need to be successful. And we hope people will just reach out to us and engage.
And react quickly to falling stuff. That's really good.
See, like, that's the multitasking mom hands.
Multitasking mom. Everything would have fallen apart for me just now. What have you been doing so far? I mean, you've told us the basics. You've told us, how you're organizing and everything else. What about, what are you having an impact? Is there anything that's actually tangible that people can see, or tell us about that?
Yeah, for sure. So, we've talked specifically so far about just school boards, but we've also gotten involved at the state level on some issues that affect parental rights directly. And here in Florida, we have a proposed bill called the Parental Bill of Rights, which is a fantastic bill. There's a few states so far that have passed one, but most states do not have one. And it just puts basic rights. It lays them out almost like our actual Bill of Rights, but for the role of parents to be involved. And people say, well, what do you need that for? Of course, parents have rights. Well, we are watching all over the country, school districts and California is some of the worst offenders, medical treatments in school without parental permission. There's all kinds of things going on that are just unacceptable. And so this Parental Bill of Rights is very important to our cause. And we've engaged in that. It passed all three committees and the floor of the House in Florida 2 weeks ago. And it has passed all three committees in our Senate, and it's now headed to the Senate floor next week. So we've been writing our state legislators on that and really working hard to get that passed. Local levels, the fight is a little, man, those local school boards are stubborn. The fight is a little bit harder. You kind of have to be in it for the long haul, but we see movement happening in Volusia County, Florida. Last night, the board finally agreed to discuss and potentially vote the next school board meeting on making masks optional. And those ladies have been working hard on that very specific issue in their county for a few months now. So we're excited about that potential opportunity. Another impact that we're having, and this is another part of our organization, and if you give me a minute to talk about it, I'd appreciate it. It's our Madison.
Take 30 minutes.
Yeah. It's our Madison meetups. And this is something that's very dear and close to my heart. Late summer, I kind of was just fumbling around with where I wanted to head with my life. And I made a list of things that were important to me. And it turned out liberty and our constitution and education, all these things that, you know, kept bubbling to the top. And so I just, you know, I thought, I haven't read the Constitution in a long time. And so I made a Facebook event and I called it Life, Liberty, and Chocolates, because that's also something I'm passionate about. And I invited friends over and everybody brought a chocolate dish. And we sat down and we started with the Declaration of Independence. And we literally just read it like almost like a book club out loud to each other, line by line, discussing. People started bringing like backup documentation about each of the founders and their participation in the roles and how certain things came about. And it just developed into this really amazing group of women that now we understand these founding documents so well. You know, we've been through the Bill of Rights. We're now almost finished with the Constitution, and it grew into that. So we started calling it a Madison meetup after James Madison, the founder of our Constitution, or the father of our Constitution. And we have, we put together these little packets that people can purchase that, you know, it's a book, how to read the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, with some pocket constitutions in it. And we say, go forth. And we have moms meeting in playdate parks while they are studying the Constitution under the pavilion, and the kids are running around. We have wine club moms that are meeting, doing the same thing. We have couples groups that are meeting over desserts and dinners and doing the same thing. And I love it. I love that they're based mostly in homes. I love that we're returning to the founding documents. It's part of our core principle as Moms for Liberty that we have to understand where we came from. We have to understand where our rights, you know, come from and where they're protected in order to be able to stand up for them. So we're having an impact on that level too.
That is amazing. Well, you're having an impact right now, because this is the first time, and I can say this with a certainty, this is the first time in my life that I've discussed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and doing so made me hungry. I'm looking for chocolate and wine within reaching distance. It's not here.
I may be a food stuff. So, one of my ways of getting people engaged in the things that I'm passionate about is to include food, and it always seems to work. So,
it always, always seems to work. And my wife is a phenomenal cook, and she uses that power over me regularly. So it works. Okay. So we've talked a bit about how to get involved, but I want you to as my final question, I want you to make the push, and not just about, hey, you know, go here, sign up here, and go here and sign up here. I want to, and I don't hate to put you on the spot, but this is the, yeah, I already gave you the $1 million question. So here's the $1 billion question. You are addressing, as I said in the beginning, you're addressing a group, you know, generally conservatives, Republicans or libertarians or whoever, you know, right-leaning people in general who are most concerned, because I have seen myself, I've seen what the left does. They're perfectly fine with it. You know, they're perfectly fine with, oh yeah, no, I trust the schools. I trust them with anything. I don't even need a report. Just show me the grades. Tell me they passed and tell me if there's any racism that I can go after, because that's the only thing that counts right now is social justice. It has nothing to do with the actual education of our children. Anyway, for us, me, you know, I need you to make a pitch to me, because I believe in what you're doing. But I think that there's a lot of people like me out there who have just said, you know what, I'm going private school, homeschool, you know, no school. I don't care. I'm not going to send my kids there anymore. They can't be fixed. There's no point of even trying. Convince us that we do need to try, that we do need to embrace our future within public education, whether we're conservative or not. Go.
I would start by saying, first off, you can protect and save your own kids by homeschooling or private schooling, and you should do what's best for your family. One thing we support 100% is school choice in any way, shape, or form. Parents need to direct the upbringing of their children in every fashion, including education. We cannot abandon public education, no matter how frustrated we are, no matter how tired we are, no matter how lost we think it is. We just cannot abandon it, or we pretty much, no, we have abandoned our country. We've abandoned everything it's founded on. We can't have an uneducated electorate. We cannot allow the other side to dominate the education of the electorate, or there truly is no hope. And so we must fight back. We must stand up. We must stand up on principles, and we must push forward on the things that really matter in order, you know, it sounds melodramatic every time I say it, but in order to save America, like in order to save our country, we have to fix the public education system. And that means that moms, dads, community members, grands, family members must get engaged, and we must get engaged now.
Wow. I'm going to be accused of feeding you that question and giving you time to answer it, to come up with your answer, because that was a perfect answer. We're finishing up with Tina Deskovich. I just want to say, first I need to ask a side question. Are you a 501c3? What is your current?
We are a nonprofit registered in the state of Florida, but we are a 501c4.
Four. Okay. Educate. Okay. I'm done. Okay. Yeah, well, so
ultimately, you know, one thing we didn't get into, I'm sorry.
No, please.
Some of the ultimate goal of getting everyone engaged back in education. I mean, the things we do at our meetings is we go over every single school board agenda. You know, the dream is to have a chapter in all 3,000 counties where they're going over every single school board agenda and people really understand what's happening at every single school board meeting. But the ultimate goal here, other than saving America, is that leaders are going to rise out of these organizations to run for school board, and that we can get them in positions where we have taken back the school boards in education. And so that's the reasoning of the 501c4, is we will be even more politically engaged in the very near future.
That's amazing. And I'm actually very glad to hear that, because that's too often, I think they being organizations hide behind a 501c3 because we can't do this, we can't do that. You know, we can't get involved with this. You know, sorry, we're doing the best we can. You're actually wanting to go out there, roll up your sleeves and make things happen. I love it. The reason
no fear here. We are done. We are tired. We are sick of this. We can't take it anymore. You know, when you need something done, you ask a mom, and guess what? We're here and we're not hiding and we are not sitting down.
No, you're not. That's perfect. I had to ask because, you know, I'm going to encourage our readers over at Knock Report, our listeners here on the show. You know, we're going to be making a big push here starting next week. We had interviewed, I forgot his name, Mike Lindell yesterday. And Mike, he's launching his platform next week. So we expect to see quite a bit of new people. So I always wanted to make sure everybody knows that when I do endorse something such as this, as momsforliberty.org, that I'm doing so with the understanding that I do believe in the people, I do believe in the cause, and I don't think it's a scam. There are too many scams out there. This one obviously is not, and I'm very, very pleased about that. Tina, thank you so much for being on with us today.
We appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll have you on again. This time, bring your partner. She was supposed to come. This was supposed to be my first attempt to do a three-way Zoom.
That's interesting, because it was going to be our first attempt of being interviewed at the same time. Also, we've each taken some different news, you know, opportunities, but we haven't done it together. And we said, oh, this would be a great opportunity to try to do it together. But she had a family emergency that came up early this morning, so she's addressing.
Well, save that three-way interview for me. I want to be the first.
<We'll try. laughs>
All right, you guys take care.
Thank you.
God
sir.
Bless.
Bye.